Otsi, how are you, my man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Lots to discuss on the program today. I want to get your thoughts now that you've seen some of the World Cup games. Team North America, man, built on speed and at times just kind of skating circles around that older European team. That surprise you?
Yeah, you know what? Obviously, they look great. They look very fast, which I think we all expected, and it's nice to see. I think you got to be a little careful just because one thing for sure is Team Europe, they had, I think they had 19 one night, 18 left shots the other night. Both nights, all defense were left shots. And against a really fast club, I think, you know, resetting in your own end is a recipe for disaster. And I think that allowed them to be faster. So I'd be a little cautious of that. But, I still thought Team North America looked great.
Now, one of those players, Zdeno Chara, you know, veteran guy who's probably a Hall of Famer, in those games at times, he looked rather slow. And now you mentioned, you know, some guys had to play their offside. Chara, when you're a big player, Adam, even for NHL guys, do certain players clearly struggle turning one way over the other as defensemen?
Yes, no question. And you know what? He slowed down a little bit. That's a fact. But he still has a tremendous value. Obviously, penalty killing, matchups. In a regular game, the pace is going to be a hair slower. And I think having a partner who was right-handed would surely help him because, you know, every second that you can get out of your own end will help him. So I think that's a little bit of, you know, he's a guy that came to mind. I thought one night he didn't look that great. But I also think about it in terms of for his NHL club, it's a different story, right?
Oh, yeah, I would think so. So, you know, how much do you take then out of how the players play in this tournament compared to how they're going to play for their individual team?
You know, it's, yes, like once again, you got to be very careful. I think there's certain guys you see have elite skill. Well, they're going to have elite skill in the NHL. There's certain ways the team match up. For example, Team USA, you could say, you could clearly see that one of USA's strategies against Team Canada is to be physical against them, right? So they've dressed a lot of physical guys. But that's not a strategy every team can employ in the NHL, is it? So for a short window, you can try and build a team a certain way. I don't think that lasts in an 80-game schedule. And I think it affects players individually. I know you got guys playing out of position where, oh, he's a very talented guy, but he's a centerman, and now he's playing wing. Well, it's not the same, everybody. You know, it's really not. It's when you're used to being the man on your team, and you say you play center and you play 20 minutes, then you go to this All-Star 2 weeks, and, hey, you're so happy to be playing for your country, but you're playing out of position, and you're not the man. So you don't have your same confidence, your same mojo, and that trickles into your game at times. So that's why some guys like the philosophy of having a role player play with two talented guys because they're a role player on their own team. They're not necessarily a superstar on their own team, and they fit in at any kind of lineup, right? And I think that's what chemistry is all about.
Adam Oates joins us, Hockey Hall of Famer, now a skills coach. And going back to, you know, watching guys turn and you know, different ways, it's interesting, Adam. I don't think when you get to the NHL, maybe as a young guy you can alter it, but for veterans who have been around a long time, when they start to lose a step, which happens to every player, right? I'm sure you can attest to it. At some point, there's just, you know, when you're getting slower. When a player realizes he's getting slower, Adam, what are some ways to counter it so it's not so obvious?
You know what? It's hard because our game's fast. I think some of it is coaching. I think as a player, generally as you get older, you might be slowing down a little bit, but hopefully you're getting a little smarter and you're maximizing every decision you make. I think how the team plays really matters. You know, I really do. And I think as a guy gets older, like the guy that comes to my mind right now is Jaromir Jagr. Jagr can still produce points. Is, you know, the Sedins, they can still produce points. They can produce points on the power play. They might not be the best players on your team 4-on-4 because that's more of a track meet. the style your team plays. If it's a track meet, that's not going to suit their styles. But if you can find windows where there are lots of times in our game where, you know what, the game does slow down, and then that suits their skills. So sometimes you have to overlook a little bit of their flaws because you realize that on the other end, they can still produce points, and that's something that every team needs.
Oh, definitely producing points is something. Now, I know you're a big believer in the stick. Can changing the stick help with speed? Like, I know with Teddy Purcell, we saw it last year during the season. You cut off 4 inches, which is pretty drastic because you notice it was getting caught up in him and not allowing him to accelerate as quickly as he would have liked. Now, forwards play the game and, you know, are in a lot of different skating situations than defensemen, right? So are there things you can do with a stick for a defenseman that can maybe help them not necessarily get faster, but utilize what speed they have left at the maximum time?
Of course, 100%. I think that's one of the biggest misnomers. You can be the fastest guy in the world, and if you overskate the puck, are you fast?
Well, yeah.
No. The answer is no, obviously, right? So if you're going back and you've got a foot head start on me, but you overskate the puck, you just became slow. So are there times when speed matters? Of course. But execution matters just as much. So if you're a little bit slower, but you don't miss the puck, you just got faster. So every single guy, can you maximize every decision you make? We've talked about this tons, where when you, the defenseman going back for the puck, you know, if you get that puck under control faster than a guy who's maybe a foot on you, you're a better player. You're a more efficient player. And at the end of the day, it's the efficiency over 80 games that makes you a better player versus a guy who maybe has one good night type of thing, where, you know, you can be big and strong and fast, but if you don't play the puck, it doesn't matter. You know, other than certain circumstances like F1 on the forecheck. But you know what? If you got to get the puck out. So you're the biggest, fastest guy in the world, but the puck comes around the boards. You don't get it out. You didn't get it out. It doesn't matter. So you know what? Efficiency comes first in my book.
Efficiency comes first. That's, you know, it's a great point. Looking at defensemen specifically then, what about, you know, for turning when a guy, when you don't have the puck and, you know, you don't want to get beat all the time wide, is can a stick change impact that skating motion?
Yes, for sure.
How so?
Well, guys who grow up with, say, a heel curve, they're pivoting. It affects their pivoting. It affects how they turn right to left or left to right. They won't do it equally the same. It affects their poke check. It affects their range of poke check. So it impacts a lot.
So then you adjusted to it. Like, explain how a heel curve impacts how you turn.
Well, the biggest thing is when you reach out with a heel curve, you don't have any blade on the ice. So that affects your reach. So since you don't reach and you'll never get the puck, that makes you have to skate farther than a guy who reaches out and poke checks it every time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, then when it comes to pivoting, most guys with a heel curve have it because they had a great slap shot growing up. So the heel curve allows you to shoot a puck harder, especially when you're younger. So generally those guys with the heel curves play their offside. So that they're not necessarily strong side defensemen. So when they are strong side defensemen, their pivot to their left is not as efficient as it is to their right.
Do you find then because everybody's going to have a deficiency. You talk to any trainer and you know, your left leg and your right leg, you can work out all you want. And one's always going to be a little bit better in most cases anyway. So you play at the NHL level. Most players do turn better one way over the other, right? Like the majority of players?
No question. No, you know, 99% for sure.
Okay.
Myself included.
Yeah. So did you try to put yourself in a position where you could always turn your best way more often than not? And is that why coaches should look at players? And even if a guy plays his offhand, but he turns better going that way, would you almost be better than to play him on his offside just because he pivots and turns better on that side when he's a defender?
Yeah, you know what? That's a good strategy. I can't disagree with that. I would say that Everybody has a favorite side, like you said, and you work towards making it equal. I was lucky because my dad gave me a straight stick growing up, so I kind of learned to turn to my backhand as easily as my forehand. And if you find that most half-wall guys around the world can do that. They can turn forehand and backhand. And what a shock. Those are the guys that get the most points.
Yeah.
You look at the defense and, like, you know, Erik Karlsson, Drew Doughty, Chris Letang, Dustin Byfuglien, they all have the same curves. What a coincidence, right? And they all move well, move the puck well. These are the little things that creep into guys' game, and that's part of what I do with the video is show players how we can make you more optimal. I'm not taking away from your strengths, but if there's flaws, can we work towards making those flaws less and less and less? And part of it is the way you turn. Like, how I would answer that is if I turn to my right better in a game subconsciously, I'm going to guarantee I get to turn to my right.
Yeah.
So as I'm skating down the ice, I might be a little bit too far left because, like I said, subconsciously, I want to go to my right. So I'm going to kind of guarantee I go to my right. Well, then what happens if you have to go to your left? You're not nearly in as good a position as, say, a Sidney Crosby who's just skating straight because he can go either way, or a Patrick Kane because he can go either way. He's just going to go straight at the puck because he's not worried about which direction he has to go.
Adam Oates joins us, Hockey Hall of Famer, now skills coach for numerous NHL players, junior players, and more. I got a few questions from listeners today. Oatsy, first one, men's league hockey player, do you have any tips on how to improve crossovers while handling the puck?
You know what? It's hard, you know, without watching someone, right? It's hard over the phone, but at the end of the day, how many crossovers are you doing while handling the puck? You know, I don't envision myself crossing over when I handle the puck. I'm skating and I'm looking over my shoulders. I'm going to make a pass or I'm moving it forward. Maybe a defenseman backing up might be crossing over a little bit as he's looking to give it to his partner. But I don't think you really are that much. So I guess in my mind, I wouldn't worry about it that much.
Okay. One other one for you, and I know we've talked about this a little bit in the past, and I think it's a really good time to remind her because the hockey season is upon us again. And your stick recommendations for a 7-year-old starting hockey, is it based upon weight? Is there a certain brand? How should you measure a stick to cut down proper fit for a 7-year-old?
You know what? Every single skating coach has a posture in mind. And I agree with that. You know, the posture is kind of an athletic posture we talk about, right? So when you put your son or daughter in an athletic posture on their skates, you want to put the stick in their hands and cut it to a length that allows them to stay in that posture as much as possible, forehand, backhand, and one-handed, you know, where they reach to their backhand side and they don't necessarily have to bend over too much. I think as a very young age, a straighter stick is better than a curved stick because you want to develop the skills on their backhand side. You want to get rid of as many blind spots as possible. And as they get a little older, you can add curve.
Great point, Adam. As always, we appreciate it, my man. And we look forward to talking next week when the real games begin this weekend for the World Cup.
Sounds good, my man.